call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect now.
Thank you very much, Douglas. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 19th of February 2014. On the call today, we have Klaus Stoll, Sarah Longdon-All, Alan Greenberg, Tom Barrett, Wolf Knudsen, Michael Graham, Anik Menskalesi, Christina Rosette, Phil Morano, J. Scott Evans, Nick Steinbach, and Greg Satin. Olivier Kwame has emailed us to say that he will be arriving late on this call. And we received apologies from Marie-Laure Lemineur and Chuck Gomes. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Amy Vivins, Terry Agnew, and myself, Natalie Pogan. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
All right, this is J. Scott Evans for the record. I'm the chair of today's call. We've just had a roll call. Now I'm going to make a call if there's anyone that needs to make an update to their statement of interest. All right. Hearing none, I'm going to now turn it to Michael Graham, who is going to introduce the work of the definition subteam, which, if you saw my email from Monday, we're hoping to wrap up that section of our work today so that we can get ready to start populating the other groups since the principal's work team is done. And I see that Marika has now posted the revised definitions output, showing a redline version that indicates the changes that were made between the last time we met regarding this and today's call. Michael, if you're there, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you, Jay Scott. I'm speaking from a cell phone, and I don't have access really to the Adobe Connect, so I'm going to let Marika take us through the definitions. By way of introduction, after the last work group call, when there were a number of questions, comments, and suggestions, took that back to the definitions subteam and addressed all of those. Some of them were very helpful and enabled us to change and work on and I think clarify some of the definitions. Some of them were comments that were very good and very thoughtful, but we felt were more appropriate for the work group, actually not even talking of the definitions, but going forward as we are doing the work of the work group. Two things I note are the changes that were made, and I gather they're up on the screen to show the changes that were made since the last work group version was sent around. And then at the request of the principal subteam, we tackled one further definition, and that was for the bottom-up terminology, which we've tried to incorporate a definition of that. And other than that, Marika, since I'm not able to look at the screen from here, would you go ahead and carry us through the definitions? And I think if we could ask if there are any final comments on these as we go through. Otherwise, for the definition subteam, I think we completed our work, and I'd like to thank everyone who participated in that, both as a member of the subteam and then also in providing comments to us. Marika?
Thanks, Michael. So this is Marika. So indeed, what you have up on the screen is the version in which we've compared the original version we submitted to the work group with the one that we submitted to you last week, so you can have a clearer view of the revisions and changes that were made based on the feedback received from the working group, as well as some additional deliberations that the subteam had as a result of some of the comments and feedback provided. I think one important innovation or change we've made is actually adding a column to the document, because we realized that some of the feedback we received on the last meeting, as well as some of the comments, seemed to already dive into some of the more substantive discussion or make assumptions on what the potential outcome of the working group deliberations might be. So what we try to do is, by providing this additional column, recognizing some of the comments made, and still as well, if there are any other issues that people believe should already be mentioned here, these can be added there, So making sure that, you know, we park these somewhere and ensure that these are not forgotten, but at the same time, we don't want to bring them into the working definitions, which are really, you know, as it says, working definitions to provide a starting point. And I think in most of the cases, they're intended to define what the current situation or environment is, but clearly recognizing that, you know, many of these may change depending on the outcome of the working group deliberations and the recommendations that will be associated with that. And as such, the introduction mentioned that as well, that the idea is that, you know, these are really a starting point to facilitate discussions. We expect that these will evolve and need to be updated as a result of working group discussions. And then at the end of the process, we'll come back to these and add an update as necessary and include those in the final report as, you know, final and no longer a working definition. So maybe just briefly, maybe the easiest thing is just to focus, and I'll walk slowly through each of the proposed working definitions. And if anyone has any questions or comments, you know, please raise your hand, and I'll pause accordingly as we go through the document. So the first definition in relation to policy, we made some small update there, which now says a set of decisions and or applied principles selected to determine and steer present and future actions. So that is a general working definition of policy. And then linked to that is the proposed working definition for GNSO policy, which basically reads any GTLD-related policy recommendation that is approved by the ICANN board. And we've included an associated footnote there, which was language that was initially included as part of the definition as a kind of explanation, but it was deemed more appropriate to include that as part of a footnote to explain that, you know, there are multiple kinds of policy within ICANN, formal policies, operational policies. So that language has actually moved to a footnote, but I don't think the language itself has changed a lot. It just notes as well that the working group is obviously charged with looking at whether there are any other times during which policy processes may need to be invoked. Then the second category of definitions relates to policy development. The first one there hasn't changed. It's a general definition of policy development is the process through which policy is developed. And then the specific genus of policy development definition, which we again made, a small tweak to compared to the previous version, which now reads the development of policy pursuant to the policy development procedures, including the policy development process, PDP, set forth in Annex A to the ICANN bylaws. This PDP procedure is required to be used for the development of consensus policies, and see below. And here we also add a footnote or an explanatory footnote that for other policies, the GNSO Council may use the PDP, but is not required to do so. So the next section is policy advice. I think here we, again, to the general definition, just made a very small tweak, reading community input on policy-related issues. Such advice may be requested by the board or offered independently. And then the GNSO policy guidance one, which I think we did completely change based on the feedback received, and basically referring to the charter where this term is also used, basically agreed. A term suggested in the policy and implementation working group charter for policy-related input from the GNSO other than recommendations developed through current established policy development processes. And again, we have, a footnote linked to that, to the actual charter question that introduces that term. And here is a first instance where you see two of the comments or feedback that we did receive, but where the sub-team felt that those were more issues to be considered as part of the broader consideration of the specific charter question related to this, which is one, will it be necessary to create a process to ensure a bottom-up multi-stakeholder model is followed? And the working group to discuss the nature, scope, and effect of such guidance and include that as part of its final report. So again, those were two comments received by where the sub-team felt that those are better served or better addressed as part of the overall working group deliberations on the specific topic and not necessarily as part of the working group or of the working definition. Then in item four, I think we actually combined two of the definitions that were before separate. We have implement or implementation. They were closely aligned. So it's the process of putting into effect, carry out, executing, or accomplishing a policy. and an implementation of a GNSO policy, the process of carrying out or applying a GNSO recommended board-approved policy. Seeing any hands, I'll just move along. So number five is principle. You have there two alternatives, basically, because I think there are different views on what it represented. So first of all, a principle is a kind of foundational value, belief, or idea that guides a person, organization, or community. And alternatively, a basic belief, truth, or theory that underpins and influences actions represents that which is considered to be positive and desirable for an organization and guides and governs that organization's policies, internal processes, and objectives. Moving on to recommendation or working definition six for GNSO.
Marika, this is Joseph.
Yes.
Let me raise my hand. I think, is there a reason why there is not anything in the third column asking the working group to determine which of these two, after it completes its work, is the better definition?
This is Marika. I'll look at someone from the sub-team to raise its hand here. I think the sub-team felt that both of them illustrate what a principle is, and as it's not really core to, I think, what the working group is going to be discussing, I mean, this may be one of the definitions where indeed it's just to help our discussions, but I'm not really sure in the context of policy and implementation we'll need to define that as well, although you know, the working principles will hopefully as well speak for themselves of what they mean, or maybe that sub-team will pick one of those and decide which one they believe is most representative of what they're going to present to the working group in hopefully a couple of weeks. But I see Cheryl has her hand raised, so I'm sure she can correct me where I'm wrong.
On the contrary, Marika, I was not going to correct you. I was going to reinforce you. My memory is that the sub-team was very keen not to preempt the work of the committee as a whole, but we did feel that both those choices were in our comfort zone, and we would like to have those as starting points for conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. So this is Rick again. So then moving on to the next one, which is GNSO consensus. And again, there we made a small addition based on some feedback received from members of the sub-team and still reflecting as well the current language. It's in the GNSO working group guidelines, so it reads a position where only a small minority disagrees but most agree after all views on a matter have been expressed, understood, documented, and discussed at length. So the first part is the actual definition from the working group guidelines, and I think the second part really represents the current practice or as well what is expected according to the GNSO working group guidelines on how consensus is achieved or assessed. Then GNSO consensus policy, again a couple of minor tweaks based on feedback received from the working group. So it reads now, a policy established pursuant to the procedure and required minimum elements set forth in ICANN's bylaws and two covering those topics listed in section 1.2 of the consensus policies and temporary policy specifications of the 2013 RAA, see Annex 1, or the relevant sections in the GTLD registry agreement, see Annex 2. GNSO consensus policies adopted following the outlined procedures are applicable and enforceable on contracted parties as of the implementation effective date. Alan, I see you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my hand is up for the previous item. I didn't get it up quick enough, though. As one of the people who continually goes back to what can we do to make PDPs and policy development more effective and attract people instead of encouraging them not to come, I guess I would like to see the word at length changed in the the consensus one. I don't think the number of hours spent is the issue, with the thoroughness is the issue. So I would suggest that we tweak that slightly, not necessarily on this call, and replace that length with something commensurate with thoroughness, not elapsed time.
Yeah, so this is Marika. So if people can maybe think about and make some suggestions in the chat, because I think we are hoping to try and at least get to a kind of final state of the document in a relatively short time frame. So if there are any specific suggestions on how we may change that at length or what word may be appropriate there, please feel free to think about it and put your suggestions.
Yeah, I'm sure we can come up with something.
Then moving ahead to number 8, which is the GNSSO implementation review team. Again, I think we just made a small change here. A team that may be formed at the discretion of the GNSSO Council to assist staff in developing the implementation details for the policy. And again, this is a reflection of current reality, and the footnote clarifies as well that further discussion is required concerning the definition of this term as per Charter Question 5 to, for example, determine whether to include implementation review team as a concept defined as a team formed to review implementation of a policy in order to confirm that the implementation comports with and effectively embodies the policy. So again, what the sub-team has done is really just reflect current state of affairs, but recognizing that this is specifically a term where further definition may be required at the end of the process once the recommendations in relation to that specific charter question are clear.
Marika, can I hold up my hand? It's Michael.
Please go ahead.
By way of a footnote, implementation review team, forgive me, I do not recall which of the recent board decisions it was, but I do recall that just within the last week, one of the board decisions specifically referred to and formed an implementation review team of one of the projects going forward. I don't know if anyone on the call has a better recollection of which one it was, but I just wanted to bring that out, that in fact it is being used now. So that's something that I think the work group will want to be cognizant of and take a look at as we start talking about that part of the charter that we were asked to review.
And this is Marika. That was the SIC Who Is PDP recommendations that were adopted. And I actually sent out a call for volunteers today to the SIC Who Is working group to start the formation of that implementation review team. And maybe just to know that we actually have two other implementation review teams that are already active and working in relation to GNSSO PDP recommendation, that's the IRTP Part C, and as well the UDRP locking implementation review team. So I think once we, as the working group gets to that question, there are several groups that are already working and can hopefully be used as a kind of testing ground or getting feedback from those groups and seeing how that works and whether it's deemed effective or not, or what kind of changes may need to be made to make it more effective. And yeah, and Alan makes a good point in the chat. I think the first one we actually had was for PETMA. I think that was the first PDP that completed under the new PDP rules or where we introduced the concept of implementation review teams. And I think PETMA was the first one for which we used it. So
I don't think we have not used them for any PDP since then, although they haven't always been particularly active.
Yeah, this is Rick. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're trying to think. There may be instances where it's really so clear-cut that you may not need a whole group to look at it if you're really having specific language to replace, but I think in all instances. And again, that's something probably that will come up as well in the working group deliberations on this issue, that indeed in certain cases, there may be a very limited role for the implementation review team because the policy recommendations are so clear and there's very little room for getting anything wrong or having any need for clarifications. But in other cases, there may be certain issues that do need to be worked through that may require indeed more meetings and more consultation. So I think you'll see different levels of intensity or activity or requirements for an implementation review team to be active. And so then, moving down the list, I see Anne has her hand up. Please go ahead, Anne.
Yes, thank you, Marika. I just wanted to say, first of all, I think that the sub-team has done a fantastic job of incorporating the comments from the last call. I'm seeing so much that really clarifies things. And I just have two questions. One is whether, and I'm sorry, this goes back to Category 3, But when we define policy advice, with respect to the special status of GAC policy advice, is there not really any definition in the ICANN bylaws dealing with GAC policy advice, what that actually means? Does it just use the term GAC policy advice in the bylaws without having any sort of definition of it?
And this is Marika, and I'll wait for someone else to raise a hand. But in the meantime, I think it's actually GAC advice. I don't think the term is policy advice. I think where it differs. I mean, I'm not looking at the bylaws, so I may be saying something wrong here, but I think as I recorded, and for ALAC, it may be the same, that they actually talk about advice and not necessarily policy advice. And I'm waiting for Alan or Cheryl to raise their hand.
Cheryl's here. I've dropped out of the room. Otherwise, my hand would be waving frantically at you. Yes, Marika, again, you are absolutely correct. But in the specific question that Anne just raised, re-GAC advice, in the first affirmation of commitment, accountability and transparency review team, there was many, 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 many hours spent on that exact subject. And it resulted in things like the GAC maintained that everything they said was advice and should be under the bylaw requirements. The board said, oh, sorry, unless we saw the words GAC advice on it, we didn't think it was, and that's now being clarified. So you'll see things very specifically and clearly labelled as GAC advice, or indeed in the case of the ALAC, and they've done this for, I think, certainly for the last 5 or so years now, listed things as specifically advice versus comment. And if it's advice, it's a fully sanctioned consensus-built process, and an at-large advisory committee vote has been carried out on it. So there are very specific meanings associated to particular terms in other parts of ICANN that I believe you're raising the point and that, you know, we need to be cognizant of. Thanks.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that. I really didn't know. Just curious. The other question I had related to implementation, number 4, and my question there was, in connection with the NGPC and their mandate from the board, is the word implementation used in connection with that, and is that at all relevant, or is it in any way defined? You know, again, not taking away from it. To me, I think this chart's amazing. I think it's really, really well done. And I'm just seeking to have an answer to a question I don't know the answer to about whether NGPC has, you know, implementation, specifically implementation responsibility.
This is Marika. Alan has his hand up, and I'm hoping he may have an answer to the question.
Thank you. I don't think I don't think the word implementation used to be used a lot. It was sort of what got done to make things happen after the policy after the policy was decided on. And so the word itself, I don't think, shows up in the bylaws or anything like that. Clearly, the board, in a generic sense these days, says it should not be setting policy. Therefore, what the board is doing must be doing implementation. It's one of these, when you subtract what's not possible, what's left is what they're doing. You know, one could question whether some of their decisions are in fact policy, but I don't, and we may, as part of the product of this, come out and say that they should not be doing certain classes of things because it's policy and therefore must involve the bottom-up process. But I think that's going to be a result of this group, not one of the inputs, and therefore, since the term is not defined in the real world, we can't really say what they're doing, except they have declared in general they don't want to set policy. But it's a real fuzzy world right now. We're in the middle of doing something, and we keep on coming up with questions that weren't addressed well enough in earlier years. You know, they're clearly doing things which are edging into policy, but I don't think we want to raise that issue right now.
Yeah, and this is Marika. This is Marika. I just looked up the resolution that established a new G2LD program committee, and actually doesn't refer or talk at all about implementation. It just talks about that, you know, the board delegates to the new G2LD program committee all legal and decision-making authority of the board relating to the new G2LD program. So it doesn't specifically talk about implementation, so maybe that answers your question.
Thank you, Marika. That's very helpful. It just says all legal... I'm sorry, what does it say? All?
In the resolution, it says all legal and decision-making authority of the board relating to the new G2LD program.
That essentially says they're the board for this for all intents and purposes.
Okay, thank you.
So, but I don't think anywhere it says clearly what the board can do, so... It doesn't really clarify the situation.
Thank you very much.
So then going back to where we're on the list, it is Marika again. I think we were left off at the item 9, the multi-stakeholder model, so we didn't make any changes to the general definition of that. So that's an organizational framework or structure for organizational governance or policymaking, which aims to bring together all stakeholders affected by such governance or policymaking to cooperate and participate in the dialogue, decision-making, and implementation of solutions to identified problems or goals. And then we specified as well the definition for the ICANN multi-stakeholder model, and there we had made some tweaks. So the multi-stakeholder model adopted by ICANN is composed of diverse self-selected internet stakeholders from around the world, organized or self-organized into various supporting organizations, constituencies, and advisory committees, and utilizes a bottom-up consensus-based policy development processes open to anyone willing to participate. And then on the request, I think, of the working group, or I don't remember if it was the principal sub-team, we also added a definition for bottom-up in a GNSO PDP, which the sub-team defined as a fundamental principle of ICANN's participation and policy development decision-making process, whereby policy and organizational decisions and analysis progress from analysis to policy, not from the board down, but from stakeholders, internet users, companies, and anyone who wishes to participate in the process up to the board. The process provides the opportunity for equal participation from all levels from the involved organizations as practical and possible. That basically covers all the definitions, and we made a couple of small updates just to the explanatory language at the bottom in relation to some of the additional terms that were suggested for consideration and if or how these were considered and why they were not incorporated. I think explains a little bit as well why we added the additional column to really make clear that, you know, we're not ignoring some of the comments or feedback received, but in certain cases, I think the sub-team felt that trying to define terms such as, for example, public policy or public interest, it could really require a large amount of time without necessarily yielding the proportionate value to the working group effort, so it wasn't deemed necessary or timely at this stage to work on those items, as I think the sub-team believes that the most important terms that are required for the working group deliberations are covered in this document. And I think that covers it. I mean, as I said, we have some annexes where some of the background information is provided on, you know, the consensus policy and specifications, as well as the, I think, the RA or the new GTLD registry agreement provisions that relate to that, as well as the specific section of the working group guidelines that talks about the decision making and consensus definition. So I know we have the one issue on the suggestion on the word on the, I think, where were we, the consensus, GNSO consensus. I see that Amr has made a suggestion to change, I think, the last part to and discuss to the satisfaction of the participants of a GNSO working group. And I see that J. Scott has expressed some concern there as that could be considered a slippery slope, as disagreeable parties are never going to be satisfied. But Armour responded that it does include the definition itself already, that a small minority may disagree and all views on the matter have been expressed, understood, and documented. So that may already cover that element. So, see, Alan has his hand up. So, Alan, do you have any other suggestions?
Yeah, I'll just note that Armour's answer essentially it makes it a circular definition. but because you need to understand what consensus is before you can recognize whether it's met. I suspect we can. I haven't thought of it, and I don't like drafting on the fly, but thoroughly discussed or something like that, I suspect we can do it without stressing it. And it's always a chair's call, which is appealable to the GNSO Council if someone doesn't like the chair's call. So I would suggest a word like that, and I'm willing to think it over after the call and come up with something on the mailing list. But thoroughly may be an adequate word to start with right now.
I'm going to acknowledge Amr first because his hand is up, and then I'll make my statement. Amr?
Thanks, Jay Scott. This is Amr. I just wanted to note something else regarding GNSO consensus. This is a discussion we've been having recently on the Standing Committee of Improvements Implementation. And one of the things that was brought up on this discussion is that GNSO consensus is actually only two levels of the decision-making in GNSO consensus, because you have in the GNSO Working Group guidelines, you have several levels of decision-making, the top two being full consensus and then consensus with a minority disagreeing. And the rest of the decision-making levels, including divergence and others, do not actually represent consensus. So I was wondering if this group, in defining GNSO consensus, are we referring to just these top two levels or all of the decision-making levels in the working group guidelines? I think that would help us frame what it is we want to define here. Thanks.
Yeah, and this is Rick. I can maybe answer that question, because basically the definition specifically relates to the consensus definition, and not the full consensus, but really the consensus, as that was one of the terms that was given to the sub-team to define, and that's a defined term in the GNSO Working Group guidelines. But as I said, the Section 3.6 is included in the annex, so it should be visible for everyone as well, that indeed it's not the only designation that exists, but this is the term that's used for consensus. So. And Jay Scott, I think you were next.
I'm going to recognize Alan because his hand has gone up.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to preempt you. I was just going to say that I'm not sure this definition is needed in our process anyway, because it is covered in the work group rules. But just incidentally, the GNSO Council essentially ratified our definition when they refused to or decided not to send on to the board the decisions with a lower level of agreement from the IGO-INGO working group. But I really don't know if we need to gild this anymore, because I'm not convinced we really need that definition to go forward in the case. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. My suggestion would be that anyone that has comments regarding number 6 or any of the others, forward them to the list so that they can be compiled and put in the column 3 for further consideration.
This is Michael, and I think that probably is the best way to go. And, put the definitions themselves to rest insofar as they are specifically working definitions. And I can't think of one of them that will not change, at least in what it denotes or connotes, forget which one it should be, as we go further into the discussion. But at least in giving us the language that we can use with each other, I think this is a pretty good place to end the work of this subteam.
So my suggestion, Marika, is that we would send a note to the entire working group, given that not everyone's here today, and say that by Friday we're going to close a time to make comments with regards to the definitions, and that they need to make any comments to the list, and any comments that are related to outstanding issues or questions will be put in this column 3.
Yeah.
For further consideration by the work by the work group as a whole and individual subteams as they drill down on the work.
Perfect.
I don't want to leave anyone out who couldn't be at the call today. I want to give them some additional time, but I want to give us a hard close to this document.
So this is Marika. So at least I see in the comments or in the chat, at least that people seem to be fine with at least removing at length. So that may already address Alan's concern, and then I think people still have an opportunity to add further comments by Friday. Does that work? Are people okay with that?
Yes.
Amir's
hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Jay Scott. Thanks, Marika. My only concern is that this, I believe, will be the fourth deadline for providing feedback on this subteam's work. And assuming we do get feedback before Friday and start making amendments, does that mean that we will need another delay to start editing them accordingly?
I think perhaps I was not clear. I'm not talking about taking in comments that were relieved to revisions. I'm talking about raising any concerns for further consideration that would go in that last column. So we wouldn't do anything to change this, but if you have any concerns, they would be noted so that they're not lost. And when we go through the additional work teams, if they want to take on that, or when we come back at the end and we revisit this, we'll have a record, and we can then decide whether, having gone through all the work, any adjustments need to be made based on the concern that was raised at the beginning of the work. But I am not consisting that I'm consisting that on Friday, at close of business specific time, that this is done.
All right, great. That sounds great. Thanks.
And that I'm only adding additional time so that if there are concerns that weren't raised by people who aren't here, we can at least get them noted. Is everyone, can I see some, those of you who are in Connect, if you agree with that approach, would you give me an agree? I see 3, 4. Okay, it looks like those that can get to it are on board, so, and it looks like Amr is not offended by that either. So, okay, that's what we're going to do then, just so that we can move forward. I want to thank Michael, Amr, Neil, and everyone who has been involved in all of these, but especially this hardworking definition subteam on plowing through this work, some of it through the holidays, and we really appreciate all your extra work. So now let's go to the status. I don't think Olivier has been able to make it, so I will briefly let you all know that he has sent out some follow-ups to various groups with regards. He has contacted NPOC, ESSAC, the CCNSO, RSAC, NCUC, the IPC, the ISPCP, the ASO, and the GAC. And I want to say he may have also attached the BC, but I don't see it in his list. With regards to the input that we had requested prior to the holidays, and he has reminded them. He has heard back from the head of NPOC, who has suggested that this go to their policy committee team. So he is going to make sure that happens. And he's heard back from Rafiq at the NCUC, who is going to put it on their agenda for their next meeting, which is 25th of February. So we've heard from those two with regards to possible having, they've at least acknowledged they've received it and their intention to discuss it within their own group. So that's good progress. Next, I'm going to turn to Cheryl Langdon Orr, if she's still with us, to bring us up to date on where we are in the working principal subteam, which I think has another call again tomorrow and has been meeting religiously weekly for 90 minutes to plow through the various issues in their document. So, Cheryl, with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, J. Scott, Cheryl, for the record. And, Marika, I don't know if there's anything you want to project, but if you do, fantastic. If not, I'm going to make this a fairly brief but very pleasurable update, I believe. We are perilously close to the part in our process where what we are going to be doing in tomorrow's call is moving the last couple of points, which are still for discussion and deliberation and finding consensus, to what is currently referred to the top of our document, which is where we're putting everything that we've completed and are in preparation of presenting to the working group as a whole. We have got the lion's share of the principles in terms of text, and in some cases some alternate text suggested in note form, ready for your deliberation, but we are, as of tomorrow's call, going to go through the actual layout and design of the documentation, and it is intended to have it in the working group's hands in advance of the next working group call, and I'm delighted, and I suspect the rest of the team and Chuck is too. And I think huge thanks goes not just to the individuals, as you've mentioned, J. Scott, who've worked very, very hard in the sub-team to get what you will be receiving shortly as a fairly completed document, obviously still open for your discussion. But also Marika and Mary have been unbelievably useful, and we really couldn't have done it without them. It has been a very large effort, but one I'm sure you'll all appreciate. And I've dropped off. Oh, and I'm back again. Okay. Thanks, J. Scott.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you for that. That call, for everyone's diary purposes, is going to be, I believe, Wednesday, March 5th. And I am not going to be able to be on that call, I do not believe, because there's some chance I will be on an airplane. And Chuck is fully aware of that. We had switched up the schedule due to that and due to his not being available today. Marika, I just want to point you to the fact that Christina Rosette, oh, I see you've noticed it. Okay. I appreciate that. All right. So now we move to planning for the working group face-to-face meeting at ICANN meeting in Singapore. My first question is, Marika, have you all secured a time slot? I think the initial discussions, what it would be held on the Wednesday after the GNSO working meeting, as it was in Buenos Aires. Is that still our plan?
Yeah, this is Marika. The meeting slot that is currently on the schedule is indeed Wednesday afternoon from 3:30 to 5 o'clock local time, with the GNSO Council meeting finishing at 3. This is still tentative, as you know, we're still finalizing the schedule, and as always, there are a lot of moving parts, but that is the slot that we requested and I think currently have allocated. So we'll keep a close eye as well and see how things come together. And as soon as we have a confirmation that is indeed the slot, we'll let, of course, the mailing list know. And I think, as mentioned before as well, we'll make sure that remote participation facilities are available so that anyone that's not in Singapore is able to participate in the meeting remotely.
What date is that meeting?
26. Yes,
right.
That's correct.
Cheryl, I'm not sure, but I'll look to you and Marika probably to assist me, but do you think it may take one or two calls to go through the principal's document?
I believe if we structure, Cheryl, for the record, if we structure it right, I think we can do it if we dedicate the amount of time of the call associated to that to be a fairly large lump. Obviously, that's up to the leaders of the call. It can be done in a single reading on the call, providing people have had the opportunity and made as many comments as possible to the list, because that's usually the part that holds it up. I believe we'll have designed the structure so that you'll all be able to read the overarching and following principles and have them clearly understood. But if there's specific comments and debates, we probably should make sure we start that online before the call.
Okay. All right. Okay. So what do we want to handle in Singapore? I think that we're going to need to revisit our timeline and look at it.
Yeah.
And make readjustments with it. And we are also going to need to make sure that we have sufficiently populated the remaining sub-teams.
It's the next one, yeah.
Those are the two things that I think would be, I mean, I think there's always, we have 90 minutes. We might want to take the, you know, first 45, the first 30 minutes and do a presentation on the work done to date.
Uh-huh.
Where we say we've come up with these definitions, we've come up with these principles, and then next steps. And then take the last part of the meeting, the last hour, to look at the timeline and making sure that we're populating these committees correctly. That would be sort of my suggestion to the group. Are there any other points of view? Alan, I see you've agreed, but do you have any comments?
Sorry, that was an agree from a very long time ago. I don't remember what it was for. I do have a comment. Face-to-face meetings are really valuable as an opportunity to have what I guess I'll call a substantive discussion, and I'd hate to see using, I was going to say the word waste, and maybe that's too derogatory, the time for talking about schedules and things like that. You know, we've spent a lot of time so far on these subgroups and definitions and principles. At some point, I think we need an overall work group, not a sub-team, discussion of where we're going with this and the implications of what we've already decided. Some of the principles that will be presented next time have some really substantive impacts.
Yep.
And they may be good, they may be bad, they may be a mixed thing that they're expressing something we believe, but they're going to have some results. And I think we need a bit of a wide-ranging discussion of, are we going in the right direction? There's a danger in doing things in tiny little bites, that you go from one step to the next without really understanding where you're going, and you may not end up like the end product because of it. And I think this meeting is an opportunity to have some of that discussion.
Okay. Taking on board your comments, then, would you agree that perhaps, because there will be others in the room, and we may want their participation as well,
mm-hmm.
that what we do is we present the work we've done to date, and then we look at the work that remains to be done, and then we have this broader discussion. So we take 30 minutes to present sort of the plan, what's been done, what the future plan is, and then to have that broader discussion.
I think that's quite reasonable, and I think in between that, we need some almost blue sky or stage setting of where we're going so far now leads us, and is that where we want to be? Maybe everyone in the room says yes, let's go for it, but I think it needs airing.
Okay. So, Marika, what I would suggest is that we have a very robust Singapore planning meeting on the call. There will be a call between Singapore and the 5th, correct?
Yeah.
The week before.
Correct.
So maybe that's the day we do a robust planning. And we just put in our minutes that this has come up, and this is sort of a suggested format that needs to be further fleshed out.
Jessica, Cheryl here. If I could put my hand up to agree, or my checkbox to agree, I would. I just wanted to note two things. So I will only be available for the first 60 minutes or actually 50 minutes of that 90-minute call in Singapore, sorry, gathering in Singapore, because the public nominating committee meeting starts an hour into our call, and obviously I'm committed to that. So
right.
I will be there for the beginning, but I'll have to go and actually get organised to run another forum at sort of the 50-minute mark into it. I want to support what you're saying, and I do think Alan's point that these gatherings at the public meetings are often an opportunity for us to have healthy and quite valued wake-up calls from other parts of the community. It's almost a preliminary focus group exercise, and I'd like to see that as much time as possible is devoted to that opportunity.
Anne?
Yes, thank you, J. Scott. It's Anne. My question about what Alan had said was, and maybe it's because I haven't seen the working principles yet, is if the point of this meeting is to be a check about are we going in the direction we need to be going, my one question about that would be is that if this is a, you know, a bottom-up process, I'm not sure we've actually gotten into the meat of the process of the working group yet. And how, so when we talk about are we going the direction we need to be going, is it really jumping ahead in terms of conclusions of where we should be going? I mean, focus group makes sense to me, you know. Getting comments makes sense to me. Dealing with it in a substantive manner makes sense to me, but I don't quite understand the terminology of so we can find out where we should be going, because to me that's the process of the group itself. Thank you.
Alan?
You may be right, and the principals group may have overstepped their boundaries in coming up with certain principles, but the feelings in that group anyway were exceedingly strong, and you know, we'll be addressing it in this group when the principles are brought to it. But the single one that is crucial is that you cannot violate the bottom-up process, the decision-making process, for expediency. That's not how we phrased it, but that's what it comes down to. In other words, if you come to a substantive issue which is going to impact people, change the course of the world during implementation, you have to involve the community. And we don't know how to do that yet. This group is going to have to figure out how to do that. But if we honor that principle, it changes the tone of significant implementations, not trivial ones like some of the small PDPs, but the big ones. And we have to understand what those implications are. You know, people have principles a lot of times in life, and then they violate them. They bypass them because they're not practical. The question is, do we want to do that or not? And that's the kind of discussion I think we need to have. So it's really an issue of recognizing that the principles that the principal group has come up with have implications, and if we accept them, we're saying at this point anyway, we're willing to live with those implications. But it's got to be done consciously and not blindly. I'm not sure I made it any clearer, but maybe I did.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. It's Anne. That sounds like it's going to be a very meaty discussion, and I guess I would probably want to, in terms of setting the agenda and what we want to discuss about the working principles, it would be good to have a discussion about the working principles before that meeting.
I hope we will.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's since I sort of have the microphone, it's almost one of these issues that we want a pseudo-debate, you know, of 3 minutes each side of why these principles are good and why these principles are going to kill ICANN. You know, because there's the flavor of that in them.
Greg Chatton.
Hi, it's Greg Chatton. Thanks, Jay Scott. I'm also on the principal sub-team, and I guess I have a a little different view, not a lot different view, than Alan of what we're doing. I think that in many ways the principals group is getting to some of the meat of the issues that are in front of the larger group, and I'm looking forward to getting the principals cycled out to the larger group. I mean, I think that though where the principals we're talking about are very much up for debate and discussion, I'm glad to see Alan using the word debate, because I don't think they're kind of settled principles in any way, shape, or form. So I think that we just need to kind of look at them as everything here as kind of works in progress and subject of debate, and not rather than things to kind of be accepted and taken kind of as faith. I think that we have spent a lot of time kind of getting our house in order for having the meaty discussion. I feel like we're still in a way very very early in our process of getting to kind of the meat of the matter. And I think that it's important to have the definition so that we're at least talking about the same things when we're using the same words. The principles, I think, gets us even further into it, much further. I hope that we will look at them as the beginning of a broader discussion, and not kind of trying to set anything too far into stone. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jay Scott, Cheryl here. I can't see if anyone's got hands up or not.
You're the one.
Thank you, dear. It's an ideal opportunity, and I did use the word focus group deliberately, for in Singapore to explore a lot of what your new principles documentation will have opened up to our work group. There are a whole lot of discussion points that are going to come out of it. If we can dot the I's, cross the T's, and agree in principle that these are working definitions that we will now debate and deliberate, and indeed embellish, undoubtedly, at our next ordinary meeting, and then get into that for a substantive part of our Singapore meeting, obviously in the first hour to suit me, that would be fantastic.
Okay. All right. Well, I think there's no need to continue. I think we have a general idea of what we're talking about. I agree. I think that it would be nice if we had sort of have a presentation of what's being presented, and then maybe we can decide whether at the end of having that presented, if we want to have another call, where we sort of have an internal debate, and then as part of our planning, and then present that to the wider community at our meeting and have a that sort of debate open where others outside the group can also hear and put in their input as well. So I think that gives us some idea of some possibilities for the face-to-face meeting in Singapore that are substantively deep and weighty, Alan. So with that, I'm going to ask if there's any other business. Hearing none, this is J. Scott Evans. I'm going to call this meeting to a close and remind everyone that the next meeting, again, is Wednesday, March 5th at 20 UTC. Thank you all.
Thanks, J. Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you, J.
Scott. Natalie, can you stay on the call?
Thanks, bye.
Of course. Douglas, could you please stop the recording? Thank you. Please confirm when they're stopped.
The recordings have stopped.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Douglas. Natalie, I you noticed how flaky my Adobe Connect room connection was. I mean, it was bizarre. My mobile phone maintained its internet connectivity the whole time, so I was Skyping with Alan, and there was no problem that I could see on my laptop. But I've got a brand new thing for you to notice. The last time I was let back in the room, I have a screen that consists of attendees box, agenda box, share box, chat box. I have no controls. I can't interact with anyone. I can't click on anything. Now, that's a newie. I really wanted to share that one with you.
That is new. I've never heard of that.
That's a brand new issue. Never had that one before. I've had delayed chat. But that's one for the books, and I thought, you know, just in case we were keeping score. So right now, I had to turn off. I can't even log out. I can't leave the room. I'm captured. I'm going to have to turn off my tablet to escape.
Sorry, I know I shouldn't laugh, but it is quite hold on, trust me. Stop the meeting audio. I'm gonna copy the chat and then we'll clear the room. So you don't need to log out. That's I'm going to raise this. Have you followed? I know this is the same question every time, just to say, whenever there will be Connect Room update prompts, you do them, right? You follow the updates.
Well, they do not send updates out for very rarely, if ever, do they send updates out. Thank you for ending the meeting, host, just by the way. I have now escaped, but my screen is just telling that the meeting has ended. I can't actually get out. Just as I left the meeting. Remember, I run either Ubuntu or open source based stuff, okay? So I can only get into an Adobe Connect room using the mobile apps. I haven't for nearly 12 months now been able to use an ordinary Adobe Connect connectivity through an ordinary system. So I can only get access through the mobile app. And it's the mobile apps have not been updating, I don't think, anywhere near as frequently as the ordinary ones. But with the mobile app, and this is a mobile app I'm using, this is a newie.
Okay, well, that's good, because what they're doing now, we tested this, I think, 2 days ago. What they're trying to implement is a dial-out two participants from the AC room, so an automated dial-out, which you would set up yourself, you know, when you arrive in the Adobe Connect room, a bit like WebEx does.
The reason I was in a bad mood when I got on the call today, and I was in a bad mood, is because at 2:38 this morning, and yes, I was asleep, Charla had sent out that change, very exciting change and feature of Adobe, how that the IAGCCT group was going to be using it, which means I did not get a dial out at 4 a.m. and therefore I did miss the call. I've written back to her and we're going to sort that out. But
we did a test call with that the other day, and that was my first. I had several issues with the feature, and my first initial complaint was how does that help in any way dial out?
It does not, and more importantly, can you imagine, as I've said to her, because I was interacting with her while I was on this call as well, I've had Heidi on Skype and her on email, and other things going on, and I said, I have now dropped, I think at that time I'd only dropped 5 times from the call we were in. I said, how is that going to work if I was all my audio was going to be connected through the Adobe Connect? And can you imagine if you were chairing a meeting and that was the case?
No, as are many of these things, you know, they only work with reliable, stable connections. But the whole point of the dial-out is that we cater to accommodate unstable, unreliable connections.
And
so
I mean, you wouldn't call someone in Australia I'm not in a third world developing economy. I'm not in an emerging economy. But our internet is light enough. You know.
Exactly.
So it's all about, if you can keep raising the baton and doing the good fight for choice, redundancy and flexibility, that will be good.
Okay. I will nick that off you, choice, redundancy. I've been I came up with a sentence of 10 words to say that. Okay, choice redundancy is very good. Thank you.
I'm now going to turn my tablet off so I can get away from a doze. but just on that other matter, when the call, and I'm assuming it was a Digo that was the call operator today, or was it Verizon?
No, it's our trial test with them. We're still on that. It's our trial test with AT&T. This working group was selected as pilots.
Okay, because and I think all of them probably use very similar systems. When they were dialing out to me this morning for my audio bridge, and they were not getting through to my home number, and now my home number is also my office number. It's a PABX system, so it just goes to whatever phone I'm actually sitting near, right?
Okay.
If they use an automated system, it'll often, for some reason, look to them like it's not coming through, whether or not it's something to do with getting to Australia or whether or not it's getting through my PABX, doesn't matter. If a human does it, it always gets through. So if you've got some sort of auto dial, that may be a problem. Now, with Adigo, Tanya fixed that when I was chair of the ALAC, that's how long it's been going on, by always dialing me personally. So she always either did it herself for a while when we were starting on the contract for obvious reasons, wanted to be happy, or had an operator literally do the numbering, because it's something to do with the auto systems. Now, we've had the same thing happen to Holly, and hers is just a straight telephone connection, and it's not just the PABX. But I think there may be some exchange issues that come into play when they have auto-dialing, so it might need to be the set of protocols that develops that if and when auto-dialing fails, do not assume the person is not there, but do auto-dialing to clear the bulk of your dial-out if you want to, but then you still have to pick up those that haven't been connected, and particularly when, for example, like today, you knew I was there. You just didn't know where I was, and follow through. But I think this is another thing that worries me as they become more autonomously relating themselves to automated services.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, I see with Adigo, when they, that we were on a Skype with them, and for a follow and recaller calls, they come online and say, okay, we're trying the fifth different network. Well, yes. There's no automated system in the world that's going to do that right now. So there's no way. We will not give in.
No, and you can't. You need a human call manager, and you need a human call manager that's interfacing at the ICANN end, not just at the subcontractor operator end, because the motivation is entirely different. If you were just somebody as a call operator, you wouldn't be taking the time to talk to me now, because your interests are at the ICANN end, and the success of the process, your motivation is obviously entirely different.
No, of course you need people to bridge. That's exactly.
Yep. All right, Ben, I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you for taking the time. Have you even got any little things out and around the house now, or is just everything put away?
No, we tidy them away. Otherwise, neighbors will talk. Yeah.
You will get some of your accoutrement and decorations back out somewhere around their 16th birthday.
Exactly.
Can I make one plea? If you have bookshelves, can you get them connected to your walls? Now, my husband put L brackets and literally top the bookshelf was drilled on the wall. Trust me, any more than one child will find a way of climbing up something, and I've seen too many incidents happen with bookshelves falling. So, or TV set, TV units and all that.
Oh, God, yes.
All of those things have to be connected to the wall. And the other thing is, these days, with the fine weight of the plasma and LED televisions, they topple really, really easily. So it may not be pretty, but, you know, tie it back. And if that means, you know, tying it back with a couple of straps, then do so, because you'll never forgive yourself if something falls on
the kitchen. No, exactly.
They're just being adventurous, they're just being clever, they're just learning the way they should do. But when I had a bed was the only thing that stopped the kids being caught underneath the bookshelf when it came down, trust me, I never mm-hmm. want that to anyone else.
No, I bet. No, that's a very good point. No, our shelves are, you know, weigh as much as a block of flats we're in, but the plasma screen is a good point.
Yeah, but you'd be amazed. I mean, we saw a video once, because I was the National Research Chairman for the Multiple Birth Association. We saw a video once on how long it took a set of triplets to negotiate their way by cooperation, right? Just simply cooperating over a childproof fence.
Yeah.
It was under 60 seconds.
Okay.
That's a childproof fence. Adults have trouble getting through the gate. But you put three smart kids together. And
no, that's just when they gang up, it's over.
They cooperated, they sorted it out. There was nothing near the fence, but three kids can move something to near the fence. And then one boosts one up, the other pulls the next one up, the first one then closes over, climbs the two others, gets to the top of the fence, helps the others up, all three over, under 60 seconds. It's something you never forget.
No, I bet.
Anyway, enjoy them. Make sure you come to them every day.
Don't worry about that.
but they're just, I mean, it's just gorgeous watching them exploring the world through the eyes of children. I mean, everything's fascinating.
No, we laugh. We laugh so much every single day. It is a lot of fun.
Oh, my dear, sorry for holding you up, and I'll talk to you later.
No, it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure, Cheryl. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.